Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The retrial of Alec Murdaugh is coming up. The attorneys laid out what the retrial is actually going to look like, including timeline expectations, venue considerations, new post-trial information, Alec Murdaugh's personal reaction to the Supreme Court ruling, and their absolute refusal to consider any plea deal. We are covering the practical roadmap that they have described. That's what we are breaking down here. The team said that they do not expect a retrial this year, possibly within a year, but not by the end of the year. And there's a lot to work through here. You got the preparatory work, such as the 8,000-page transcript to review, discovery scrub, new experts. If we're talking about the next trial of Alec Murdaugh, Poot already said, at least a year. So maybe around this time next year, maybe a little bit further out. Where do you think, Bob? How far out do you think this needs to be for adequate time for both sides to prepare that both will agree on?
At least a year. At least a year. You know, and especially for the state, like Waters, because they narrowed down what financial crimes are going to come in. And again, that really set the stage. Like that painted him as the shitbag. You know what I mean? It's like they put that case on first because it put him in a position to have to testify. And look, I mean, I always thought Murdaugh was going to testify either way, whether they brought the financial crimes in or not, because he's that guy. You know, he's I'm the smartest guy in the room, and I'll be able to convince all these people because that's what I do. You know, I'm a wordsmith, and you know, I'm going to be able to convince them that I didn't do this, but. The reality is that with that financial crime aspect being narrowed so significantly, it really changes the entire case for the state in terms of what they're going to put on. And they're going to have to deal way, way more heavily with the problems with SLED's investigation of the case, because that was awful, man.
Yes.
Like, I mean, everything about that. And again, the financial crimes aspect of it, like, really covered up a lot of the holes in the state's case, you know, because of the way that it painted Murdaugh as that kind of monster that was doing this to clients, where these are people that absolutely needed this money to survive because their lives had been ruined because of injuries and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And this guy just had no soul, and he's stealing from the people who needed the money the most. So, like, that was burned into the psyches of the jurors. So Waters didn't have to get as deep into the murder side of it, you know? And when you're talking about everything that they were able to pull in terms of the evidence, you know, there was some powerful evidence from the defense in that case that really kind of supported the concept that, look, you know, we know exactly when Murdaugh was in his car because of the data we were able to pull from the car. You know, I mean, that OnStar shit was powerful stuff, not for the state, but really for the defense, at the end of the day, the state's entire case rested upon the fact that there was the video that was taking place in the kennels that Murdoch wasn't aware of when he made his initial statements to law enforcement. He didn't know it existed, which made him seem guilty. This time, like, he's, because when Murdoch testified, like, I'll never forget, I'm like, this fucking guy blew it. I'm like, you go in there and you own exactly why you lied to Sled about that. You know, because, like, any normal person, like Robin or Tony, if our spouse was killed on our property along with one of our children, God forbid that any of that happened, none of the three of us for one second would not think that we were not going to be the first and only person that they were going to look at as the culprit of that crime. I'm getting on the stand if I'm Murdoch and I'm saying, look, man, you know, I'll tell you flat out, it's not because I didn't trust Sled in general. It's because I knew for a fact, I'm a lawyer. I knew that you were going to think that I was the person who did this, and I was not willing to put myself anywhere near them in terms of the time around when they were killed, because all that does is seals my fate, which it did.
Right.
They had the evidence of it. But in terms of why he lied about it, you're not going to give law enforcement any more than they're already going to have in terms of their thought process on who did this. Mm-hmm. And you putting yourself down in the kennels within what they consider 15 minutes of, you know, both Maggie and Paul being killed is not something that you're going to give up willingly. You're just not. And if he doesn't know that, and to me, that was a reasonable explanation that anybody who is in self-preservation mode is going to put out there. Sure. Like, you know, I mean, that's just the way that the human mind is going to think, because you're trying to save yourself.
And he's all drugged up at the time.
Yeah,
too.
That's the thing, too. So his brain was not working whatsoever during the entire time frame, because he was $50,000 worth of drugs already.
But aside from that, it's the thing that I said. Self-preservation mode is a real thing, man. It is. You know, it just is.
Why, at the end of the day, do you think the Sled investigation was so shitty? I mean, because I'm trying to figure out, like, who does this even benefit? It benefits no one. I mean, it doesn't benefit Alec, really. It doesn't benefit actually finding whoever did this if it wasn't Alec. And it's just obvious shit, too. Just fingerprinting things. The fact that, like, John Marvin, Alec's brother, is down there the next day scrubbing up brains himself is like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? How is, I mean, and I know, like, the police don't do the cleanup, but we're talking, like, literally the next day, like, they're down there cleaning it up, the family, like, without more of an investigation going on. It was cleared very quickly as well. I just, that whole thing doesn't make any sense to me, other than I get, do they have blinders on already going, well, it's Alex, so we don't have to investigate further. We got enough. Or they weren't really treating it like it was Alec either at the time. He wasn't arrested. He was sitting there at the room smoking cigars with the boys.
That's,
I mean,
the fucking thing.
None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense.
That's the fucking thing. That's exactly the pinpoint of the issue. And it's, again, it goes back to the history of the Murdoch family.
Yeah.
You know, because there may be some cops that couldn't stand that family, but I guarantee you that there's cops that are like, it's the Murdochs.
There's nothing there that they did to exonerate him, and there's nothing there that they did to convict him.
Right. I mean, everything that they fucked up, you know, and again, and Robin will attest, you know, I don't know if you're out there processing scenes, but there is no such beast as a perfect processing of a crime scene, because there are human beings involved.
Close.
There's always going to be mistakes. Whether or not they're fatal is a different thing. Usually they're not, you know, I mean, but sometimes they are. In this particular thing, when you're talking about, like, the tire tracks that were never preserved, you know, and the whole thing with why you didn't put up any tents to preserve the way that, because the rain came, remember? It was like, they had the tire tracks and they did nothing to preserve the scene. They didn't fucking cordon the shit. It was like, everything about it was insane. And, you know, the way that they handled the first initial contact with Murdoch after it, where he's sitting in the back of the car, it was so casual and weird that it was like, you know, it's like, again, when you're thinking about the reality of the situation, and if you take out the Murdoch legacy of that family down there, and it's you, me, or Robin, where the cops are showing up, do you think that we're getting treated that way? Or you think they're putting the thumb on us immediately? because it's going to be the only thing that they think. It's because it's Occam's razor. Like, you're here. You did it. Oh, you're telling me you didn't hear somebody come on and murder, like they were shot, for God's sake. What were you doing? How couldn't you hear it? You know, like none of that would have made any sense to the cops, and they would have been like, all right. You know, like, I'm actually excited about this trial because
I am too. I think we're gonna get, I hope
it'd be different.
We can other people are going to be exposed here in this circle of wrong with Alec Murdaugh. Go ahead.
So Robin. So while you all were chatting, I was actually looking up because the thing that popped in my mind as we started talking about sled is like, all right, so what happened? Was there a COVID effect that happened on the sled investigations? Are they doing more or less? How many reps they have? Maybe they don't do a lot of these. And so I actually looked up the number because, again, when you can actually see a pattern of how many reps they have, it'll lend towards either they have skills at this or they don't have skills at this, or is it having to do with the Murdaughs themselves, like we've been having some conjecture over. So here's what it says. In general, the number of investigations, murder investigations, sleds does a year down in South Carolina, 2024, 413, 2023, 481. They have the reps, so they should have been skilled in this. Piedmont region, 32 death investigations, PD region, 24 death investigations. So they have the reps. So the way I look at this is, all right, they have the reps. They should have had their shit wired. And the fact that they didn't says that there's confirmation bias is most likely impacting how they did it.
Yep. I mean, I love that. And that's it, you know, cause you can't give the, well, we're inexperienced.
Nope,
you know,
they are.
You see that in Delphi.
Yeah, right.
Those guys were,
or even in up in Moscow, Idaho.
Yeah.
That's a small department, and yet they were able to get their shit together and do it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because SLED is the state. I mean, it's not just the local folks that are, you know, at the small department coming in. This is the state law enforcement.
Right. Yeah. It's not Barney Fife for a
it's the state's regions. Version of the FBI, basically.
Yeah, they have four regions. They have Piedmont, PD, Low Country, and Midlands. Each of them, tons. PD region is 24, is the lowest that they had for a year, but 185 in Midlands, and then 32 and 100. I mean, they got reps.
Dude,
especially at this level, you know they'd be calling in their best people. They should have been calling his best people. I mean, inside the bureau, when you have a major case break, you know, a young guy like me, I mean, this happened to me in my career so much. It's like, all right, we got a really cool case. And they're like, hey, stand aside, young guy. This is actually important. You can ride along. You're going to learn. And in about 10 years or 15 years, when you get some reps, we might put you out front. But for right now, you're going to sit here and learn as the big guys got it.
Yeah. I mean, man, yeah, it's there's so many aspects of this thing that are fascinating, because in that case, it was the first time that I can really think of in a major high profile case that the state, that the government was able to establish a time of death strictly by cell phone usage. Like that, it wasn't the ME saying this is when they were killed. It was when the usage of the phone stopped is when they pinpointed it. And it's like, everybody's going to have time to attack that timeline there, you know, because the timing matters in terms of when Alec leaves that property and when he gets to his mom's house. And was he there? Because again, they needed him to be on the property at the time, you know? So in terms of the attack on that, we all know technology gets better day by day, you know, in terms of what they're going to be able to do with extractions and Cellebrite and all the different data that they're going to be able to pull from all the different programs and software that exist out there in terms of cell phone extractions and, you know, the data that they got from OnStar, which remember they got late in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like now they're going to have the time to really sink their teeth in it, get their experts looking at it. And they're going to be able to fight the timeline. Like, that's always my first rule, is attack the timeline.
Yeah.
You make it so that your client couldn't have done it because your client wasn't there. That's how you attack a case.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating, man.
I want to know, and I don't know why they've never gone down this road, or maybe they have to some extent. I think a lot of answers would be found as to where the hell $50,000 is going every month in drugs. If he's spending that much money and getting that many drugs, where is it going? Who is he getting it from? Why has that never been identified? I mean, we look at other cases. Look at like Corey Richens. We just finished that one. We knew all about the person who got her the drugs and where that person got the drugs from, and then the other person in between that too.
Yep. Did you say that's never been explained here in any of this? Did I misspeak? Was that $50,000 a month or a week? I probably misspoke it then.
I don't know. I thought it was a month. I could be off. Okay. Whatever it was a ridiculous amount. Not a human being.
It's what we call FU money. It's what we call FU money. I got money, so FU.
I'm saying. He was not fucking ingesting that many drugs. He'd be dead.
Yeah. It was kill a zoo amount of drugs.
He was dealing. I'm telling you, he had a side hustle where he was dealing because he was of the mindset that he still could make his clients whole. Like that's where you're talking about his mind was so murky because he was definitely using. He was definitely addicted as well. But in his warped mind, his concept was like, all right, I'm going to have to not only start dealing, I'm going to have to start dealing in volume because that's how I'm going to get this money back into my lawyer's trust account in order to be able to pay my client. He still thought that he was going to be able to get out from under the fact that he was dipping into his lawyer's trust account in order to start paying. And it was essentially a Ponzi scheme at the inception of it. Like when it started, he didn't.
So he's bailing himself out. This is great. I really love this idea. So he's bailing him in his mind, his broken brain. He's bailing himself of his financial issues by dealing drugs. Right. As opposed to these other morons that's, like Corey Richens that says, well, I'm a couple million dollars in debt, and so I'm going to kill my husband and get his life insurance policy. It still won't cover my debt, but so it's the same thing.
He's Walter Whiting it.
That's exactly what he was doing. Because remember, he was in the world. Like he got into the world exactly like Walter White did.
Walter White, I know.
He had cancer.
Yeah.
He didn't have the insurance to pay for it. He had to generate the money in somehow.
And provide for his family. You can rationalize away a horrendous
all
things.
All of it. Because we all heard because the testimony from the people that worked into his office. This guy would fucking like walk in like once a week, like, all right, how are you doing at the end of the day? Like he was out in these streets. Yeah. Like he had moved on to doing a different thing to generate money. And Tony, it goes exactly why aren't we hearing about that? Why wasn't there an investigation into what his drug circle was?
Because there's fixers in there. He's got to have had fixers in there.
That's why we're not hearing about it, because it's other people are being protected. I think that's why this case makes no sense.
Always comes back to that, doesn't it?
I feel like there's something in here. There's other people being protected. I do think Alec had something to do with it. Did he pull the trigger? Doubt it. But I think it's very much like Breaking Bad to a certain extent. Look at those characters. I think Alec was mixed up in some of that shit. And if you screw with that too much, there's far more people who could be murdered other than just Maggie and Paul.
No doubt.
And I would not be remotely surprised if Alec has kept his mouth shut about that for the protection of his existing son and the rest of his family.
Because what if there's a bunch of Salamancas in prison with him right now?
Well, I mean, anything is possible, but the only thing that makes sense to me. It's either Alec did this and he was drugged out of his mind and it's as stupid an Occam razor as it can possibly be, or it's a little more complex. And the evidence points to it being a little more complex.
Robin,
yeah.
Look up, just do what you do and figure out where most black market opioids are coming from, because I guarantee you they're not coming from people's scripts, all right? They're being produced probably by the cartel and they're being shipped up. I mean, like you could just follow the money and see where the money's going, and you're going to be able to kind of figure this thing out to go to what Tony was talking about, wherein – all right, if you're messing with the cartel, this is exactly the kind of shit that the cartel would do.
I hate doing these conspiracy theory things, but you know, some of this, because there's so many blank holes on this $50,000 either a week or a month for drugs to pay off that debt. Because even yesterday we were talking about this, I wasn't getting how like trying to kill yourself or killing your kids, your wife and your kid, makes sense if you're in debt. I mean, it just, when they didn't have life insurance policies. And that's why I said this is going to be a tough trial, even though, again, I think I'm like everyone else. He is a center hub of everything that happened with their deaths. But now that we're looking at this drug dealing side, that gets interesting. Okay, so black market opioids, United States overwhelmingly produced in Mexico, precursor chemicals primarily sourced China. Where South Carolina fits in, strictly a downstream consumer, local distribution market, not a production site. Reaches South Carolina through national domestic trafficking networks across southwest border.
Yeah, so you gave me my answer. It's produced down in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know? And like that, so that's where the thing is. Here's where it gets really interesting, because that concept that I have, that he's got to replenish the lawyer's trust account, because remember, he's got people working for him.
Yeah.
And lawyer trust accounts aren't like normal bank accounts. It's literally a trust where you hold your client's funds until they're going to get paid out on it. And I would be curious to see if the defense starts digging into, had there been deposits being made by Murdoch, because that's the only way that it proves up my theory, which is tricky, because typically your deposits are going to be a paper trail from a case that's settled. You got a check from an insurance company and you put it in the bank and then it sits until you're cutting checks for everybody that's going to get paid out in the suit. So if money starts kind of flowing in and there's not a paper trail and it seems like there were cash deposits, like there's just so much that we need to know that we didn't hear about in the first one that it's.
Could this become a drug trial case as well?
I mean, like if I'm the defense, I'm looking at it for certain. I'm seeing if it exists. I'm going to my guy and I'm saying, look, you know, you need to fess it up. Like what were you doing in terms of your drug trade? Like,
on the prosecution side, could they charge you more then on the drug side? I mean, because we don't have charges.
They don't give
there.
A shit about the drug side. They want to get them on the murder side, man. You know what I mean?
But I mean, it would be included, though. I would.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they only care about the murder one. You know what I mean? Like that. Like ultimately, if it helps move the needle, then certainly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, if that becomes their theory.
Right, because I'm thinking, because again, you got to go, absent the financial side that they don't have to work with anymore, you need intent, you know, to kind of demonstrate to the jury what the hell was going on. And if you don't have that stream, again, which is, which as we're having our conjecture here, and our thought experiments, is that if of all this money issues was trying to be solved and they didn't cover last time by this drug stuff, that could play a huge role. It's again, then demonstrating the horrendous human being he was and the horrendous human beings he was working with in order to have this happen.
Yeah. I mean, but that's a dangerous path, man. Because that starts to give the defense an out. Like if they come after him on the drug shit and they uncover some things, I'm leaning into the concept that the cartel did this.
Oh, not him. Right. See, and I was holding on to it. He was the linchpin in the middle of orchestrating it.
Nah, yeah, like these guys that are dealers, they're securing their shit from down south. You know, it comes in bulk.
Right.
You know, and there's somebody that is getting the shit that Murdoch's ultimately getting from that guy. Like, I don't think that Murdoch was the guy that was getting it directly distributed to him. I think that there was a guy either above him or below him, and then Murdoch was coming in as a major customer to that guy. You know, but
if it's that involved, it would have come out in the first one anyway, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
Big rabbit hole we just went down.
I mean, it depends on who's involved and who doesn't want to be exposed and who is exposed. And and there's a landing strip on the property, too, as a listener pointed out. There's that, too. Yeah. Yes.
With unmarked Cessna cargo planes flying in somewhere from the south.
Yeah. It's like, so where do they come? Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Oh, my God. We've got to get flight tracker records for that, right?
Let's go. Robin, you're on the job.
Actually, yes. That's not a bad idea.
Flight tracker records coming in on FlightAware to his property. That'd be interesting to look at during that time frame.
Can you do that?
I'm not sure how historical FlightAware. I'm a pilot, so I'm there quite frequently. I'll take a look. I'm not sure how historical they maintain those. You know, someone's on there doing it right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking about 50 years. You know what I mean?
I would think it might be available.
I think so too.
I don't know. I don't know. That'd be interesting.
I'll need his address.
I'll find it. Yeah.
Yeah, send me that. I'll take a look.
Okay. All right. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. I'm glad we did. We've now solved the Murdaugh murders.
We just made it so complicated.
Good job, boys.
We did it.
Right. Bob Mata, Defense Diaries. Go check it out wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. And
Buried inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. And these two beautiful guys, or at least one of them, hopefully Robin too, we are doing a fundraiser, 12-hour fundraiser this Saturday for Aaron Spencer, which Tony has covered many, 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 many times on his channel. So hopefully you guys will come over there, hang out, come see Tony, hopefully Robin. Some point on Saturday, we're going to work it out. We're going to work it out.
Yep, we will make an appearance. So definitely we'll be there. That'll be a good thing. And I mean, tell me about the fundraiser a little bit as they're getting ready for that trial.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser, and that trial is June 22nd.
Jesus, yeah, it's coming up here.
Oh, it's coming, and you know, there's experts, there's lawyers. It's a whole thing, you know. So
awesome,
and then it's going directly to the family for attorneys' fees and costs. So it's
great.
It's a good cause. It really is.
Awesome. Good stuff. All right. Cool. All right. I'll see you there this weekend. And your thoughts in the comment section. We'll continue the conversation right there. Until next time, for Bob, for Robin, and Todd, I am Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.